Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Is continuing coverage of the 2024 NFL Combine live from Indianapolis on Steelers Nation Radio. Brought to you in part by Calusi Chevrolet, serving the Pittsburgh area for over 100 years. By Schneider Downs. Discover the value of big thinking with a personal focus at SchneiderDowns.com. By S&T Bank. Proudly serving our community since 1902. STBank.com. By First National Bank. Let's get started. Member FDIC. And by Iron Workers Local Union Number 3. They don't go to the office, they build it.
And welcome back to the NFL Scouting Combine here in Indianapolis. I'm Dale Lally. He is the Matt Williamson.
Why, thank you.
You're welcome. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio and Fox Sports Pittsburgh. And I was just looking here at some of the news coming at it today, Matt.
I feel like I'm out of the loop because we've been on the air so much. Yeah. Just busy doing out of my routine, you know.
The Chiefs have granted cornerback Legarius Sneed permission to seek a trade. This after they tagged him.
Yeah, and there has been some rumors that even T. Higgins could search for a trade, or I think Burns in Carolina could be a tag-and-trade type of guy. They need all the picks they could get. This one shocks me, though. I mean, that's the Super Bowl champs. They're great at developing defensive backs. I mean, Sneed was not an early pick. Doing a really good job with that. And you know, high picks are valuable for them. But, I mean, I wouldn't consider giving up a one for him because – then you can pay him too. I mean,
and he's not young.
I think he's 26 or 27.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't come out, you know, particularly young out of college. Great year. And boy, he'd fit in here so well because he is aggressive. He's nasty. They blitz him a lot. He plays the slot. He'll follow ones. Sometimes he's a little too physical in terms of, you know, the penalties and whatnot.
He's actually 27.
Is he 27? Yeah. Okay. I mean, the other thing, though, is corners can be a little...
It's volatile.
Yeah, from year to year at times. And if you throw him in a new situation, will be as good. He's an interesting player. I think he'll still be a Chief when it's all said and done.
I think
my
so as well.
Hunch.
Yeah.
And unless you're really special, which I think he's really good, but he's not really special. Giving up a high pick and paying him in the same deal...
That's the tough part.
It's becoming...
when you put the tag on him, you've now set the price.
He's going to get at least that.
He's going to get at least that. Right. And whatever team trades for him is then going to have to give him a new contract.
At least, I mean, a 2 or 3 year
deal.
That's
going to include that $20
million. Jumping off point.
That's a jumping off point.
And maybe a first round pick.
Yeah.
I mean, usually these franchise guys go for seconds or firsts.
Yeah. So that's the tough part of that.
Yeah.
The Jets also have okayed Zach Wilson to seek a trade.
Okay. That's swell. I mean, I don't think you're going to get anything back from him at all. I don't know if they'll even cut him or what, but
I don't think that they'll cut. I mean, you probably look at maybe somebody would swap, give you a 6 for Zach Wilson and a 7.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Cause I mean, he makes money now too as a top 5 pick. I mean, just cause he's young and on a rookie deal doesn't mean he's free. People liked him coming out of school and he has not had the easiest thing to deal with. I mean, I always like to give those early picks more and more of the benefit of the doubt than they probably deserve. I mean, his play's been poor. I'm not suggesting at all he's a Steeler.
I didn't love him coming out, though.
I thought he was way overdrafted when he came out. But I'm not at all suggesting he should be a Steeler. But Mac Jones, Sam Darnold, Jameis Winston, some of those are too old. But some of those guys, one of them might reclaim their career in some way, shape, or form. It's possible.
Stranger things have happened.
Stranger things have happened.
But, so those are the two of the big things that come out of today. The Chiefs releasing Marquez Valdes-Scantling to free up $12 million.
Easy one.
Yeah, that's an easy
that's
one.
That's an easy one,
You know, we were talking about the Deontay Johnson situation yesterday.
They're not even close.
That's he's a much better player, and the cap savings is even less than what the Chiefs save with Marquez Valdes-Scantling.
Right. I mean, you're tagging guys. You're talking to Chris Jones. They probably want to add a better receiver than Valdes-Scantling. He's an easy move-on from guy. I mean, he's a linear outside the number, good size. terrible hands, one trick pony that I never made any sense to me with them.
Yeah, I'm just looking here. Bucky Brooks also put up a new mock draft here on NFL.com.
Oh, did he? He's roaming around here. I saw him an hour or two ago.
Saw him walking around, and he has the Steelers taking Amarius Mims.
I would totally understand it. I would totally understand it. I mean, I think he's going to be a guy you salivate over, especially if you're an offensive line coach, when you watch him do his drills. For the Steelers, I mean, he wouldn't be my first choice of tackles.
There are some guys here that he has them passing on that would
I'd be curious who that is. But real quick on Mims, I mean, just because you have Dan Moore, if he is a true project, he doesn't have to play now. I mean, if you think he could be the best tackle in the league, I mean, an elite guy, which many seem to think that. But there's a couple I like better.
Yeah.
As it stands today.
You work him in,
you know, Latham. And,
you know, if you draft him, you work him in his rookie year, kind of like they did with Max Starks, and you use him as the blocking tight end.
Or even like Broderick Jones, you know, just starts out not as a starter unless he blows your doors off in camp and eventually takes over and hopefully never leaves.
Quinyon Mitchell was still available. He went to the Philadelphia Eagles at 22. I think if Quinyon Mitchell was available to the Steelers, and it came down to a choice between Mims and Quinyon Mitchell, I think you'd take Quinyon Mitchell.
Probably. It's funny because Daniel Jeremiah was sitting here yesterday, and we were just talking about options at 20, and he said, that one, I'm not fielding any offers. I'm just sprinting to the podium for the Steelers because the fit's so good.
Yeah. Cooper DeJean was also available.
I prefer DeJean over all those guys.
Yeah. That would be a no-brainer for me as well.
Mm-hmm. All three would be great options. If you could trade down four or five spots and just get any of them, would be great.
Let's see. Powers Johnson must have been gone. No, Powers Johnson. Nah, he didn't have Powers Johnson.
He doesn't go in the first round.
Doesn't even have him in the first round. So he was available.
Yeah. I still lean towards tackle and corner, I think, to be honest with you, just because they're harder to find.
But plenty of good choices there.
Yeah, that would have, you'd be real happy with that. So the top 19 that went off the board.
And so these are kind of pre-combine-ish mock drafts. These things are going to change dramatically after this week, because not only, and people look at that and say, well, that changed because of the, you know, what happened at the combine.
Not necessarily,
it didn't change because of what happened at the combine. It changed because of what people heard at the combine.
Yes,
that's what
changes
the pecking order.
Yes, 100%. And a lot of these team needs start to get filled quickly in free agency. And boy, this team's now not in the center market, so he falls. Or they signed a tackle so they wouldn't drive Mims or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So things change a lot. So I know mock drafts are great clickbait, and we like them. They're fun to talk about. You can think about, well, what if this guy falls and all that? But I'm sure that if you asked Mel or Bucky or DJ or anyone that does them regularly, and you said, go back to your February mocks, they'd probably be like, what was I thinking? You know, because they do change massively.
Yeah, and again, to your point, you know, teams might not have a need right now, but next week when they have to cut, that's the, you know, some of the cuts that take place.
Oh yeah,
will be because of what happened. Well, this guard group is deeper than what we thought.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're not going to pay $4 or $5 million for this guard when we can get one in the fourth round and plug and play him.
Yep, and then the other thing a lot of mock drafters don't think about, and certainly a lot of fans don't, and it's hard to do it for 32 teams, are who's a free agent a year from now?
Yeah.
You know, like if the Steelers aren't going to re-sign Deontay Johnson or aren't sure, you don't want to be stuck with Pickens and Austin as the only two
a rookie.
Right. I mean, you got to prepare ahead of time. Right. Yeah. Exactly. So, you don't want to get pigeonholed into those things, too.
No, for sure.
See the future a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so when people start talking about, well, this guy's really rising up the draft boards,
it's a bit of a misnomer.
You're not rising at the draft board. That's where the NFL teams had them all along.
Mm-hmm.
The draft nicks are just catching up on.
Catching up, and the fans are catching up through the draft nicks, of course.
Yeah.
Can someone's stock go up in Indianapolis? Absolutely. Yeah. Or their pro day, or, you know, you'll hear things. And sometimes behind the scenes, you trust it more. But you'll hear things on NFL Network, ESPN, or whatever. His interviews were tremendous.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then that breaks ties, you know, in your favor. Or, I mean, I think that people's influences change even very late in the process when you have them in your building for an entire day. I mean, that's a lot different than a 15-minute interview at the train station. I mean, just to do that and spend the entire day with that guy, put him on the whiteboard with his future position coach, you know, sit there and have a meal with him, pick him up at the airport, boy, he fits in great here. Maybe I'll take him in the third round instead of the fourth.
Yeah. Well, let's talk comfortable, about the 30 visits that you get.
Mm-hmm.
So some of those guys that you bring in are guys that you're really interested in, that you you want to have meet with your coaches, show around the building. The majority of them, though, are medical retests.
Yeah, a lot. Or have some sort of question.
Yeah.
Like, boy, he kept throwing, I'm just pulling this out or whatever. Why on this passing concept does he always throw a pick or put the ball in harm's way? Please explain yourself. Yeah. We were talking about this with Sweat. You know, like, there's things you can't get a great answer to, or maybe I can at least have the player explain it to me, because all of the eyes we've had on this guy keeps coming up with the same question, and you have to be in his head to know the answer, you know, or, and while you're here, I want to check that knee.
Man, my docs would like another look at that.
And hey, Mr. Sweat, while you're here, why don't you step on a scale, please? You know?
Yeah. What do you weigh now?
Exactly. You know, exactly. Well,
you were this weight at that point. Let's, mm-hmm. We weighed you at your
That's
your
why
pro
it might
day.
Be nice to have the Senior Bowl one.
Yeah.
But you went from Senior Bowl to here, to Combine to here, to Pro Day to here, to walking in our building. You keep going down. Are you happy where you're at? Who knows?
Does it?
How do you carry it?
If it's going up and down, that's also a red flag.
You were
15 pounds lighter here. Now you're back up, to this weight. Next time we saw you, like, why aren't you holding that weight? Is there something?
What are you trying to accomplish here? Or, you know, what's? And we know people try to sculpt their bodies differently to present themselves differently in the draft.
I don't sculpt my body differently.
There's still a lot of work to be done, but most of it has been done because they're not playing football anymore. I mean, all the football's in the books.
The football is done.
And I think the smartest teams realize that and say, this is all great. Let's not try to get influenced by recency bias and media or numbers and 40 time. Yes, they're all tools. But the number one tool is, how well do you play the game?
Yeah.
You know, and do you fit my system? And, you know, how smart are you?
The rest of it's, you know, it's nice that it backs up. Oh, he is a fast guy, or he does run the cone drill well.
Mm-hmm. I thought he would, or boy, that's better than I thought. I'll go back to the tape, you know, those type of things. So, no, it's a very inexact science, of course, but all the tools you have are great. When in doubt, go watch the games. You know, what's he do, and what's he asked to do, and was he healthy when he did it? You know, that type of thing, too.
I mean, well, there's
a lot of investigative reporting.
The things that you find out here. That's why I found it fascinating when Max was talking about the, his fourth grade principal getting called to ask.
Crazy.
Him. Like, you'd never think about that.
And truthfully, what if they said, he was a bit of a troublemaker?
He was a jerk, or he was
nine. I mean, he was probably 6 foot, 210 pounds,
guy. Was he a bully?
Well, that would be interesting, too. Yeah. Or was he protecting the kids that bullied? I mean, I'm sure he stood out in his class, but if a kid's nine and he gets into trouble or whatever, I'm like, that's not
grow
that big a deal.
Yeah.
Right.
Grow out of it.
Yeah, you would hope. But no, it's a crazy process. And Max talking about all the medical stuff he went through, I knew it was a grind, but I never heard the play-by-play
that. No, I hadn't either. That's why I wanted to ask him about that, because I don't know. That
makes this whole thing
again,
even harder.
I've been here for more than 10 years doing this, the Combine, and I don't have any idea of.
I just know they all hate it and it's long and tedious, but I never knew.
And they all complain about it afterwards. Like, you talk to guys, the combine.
Worst day ever. 3-day beat the dirt out of you.
Yeah.
Poking and prodding. And like you said, 32 doctors have to get their hands on you. That's that in itself.
That's a lot of doctors.
Yeah. I mean, it's not 32 different doctor appointments, but it's, they're all.
But they're all going to want to get, if you've got a knee issue. Or had a knee
16 teams
point,
might be like,
they're
I'm cool
sit
with
there
it.
And they're gonna pull on it and they're gonna twist it.
Absolutely.
Know.
Yeah, and then you gotta run well after the that's what I find funny, and I understand why they do it, but the athletic testings last when you're at your most tired and most fatigued and most uncomfortable, which I don't know is good or bad. You know, like I understand like the Navy SEAL way of thinking of let's beat you up and see how long you can survive and still be effective, blah, 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 blah. But don't you just want the most accurate measurement of how fast he runs a 40 or whatever, not after you haven't slept for 3 days because, you sleep before games.
Ideally,
right. I mean, you don't do this to the poor kids.
Some guys in the past
maybe
not,
but I mean, you don't do this. You don't beat them up before football games.
No, not typically. Not typically. But
it's a crazy process, though.
It really is, and but it's the process. I mean, we've gone to this over the, this is what it's morphed into over the years, and mm-hmm. they do it this way for a reason. They didn't just say, "Hey, let's make this as difficult on guys as we can."
100%. I mean, there's definitely logic behind it all, and they would never tell us all exactly why, but it is a little bizarre. It just is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Underwear Olympics.
Yeah. But I am psyched to watch the drills.
I am too.
That always happens to me every year. It's like we've been here for a couple days. I don't know anything more about these players than when we got in the car in Pittsburgh. I at least want to see them run around and body types. And, I've seen them in pads, but I want to see them, standing next to each other. Like, that corner really stands out.
Look at I was looking at the linebackers today, these guys are, the linebackers, that position has changed so much.
No one looks like, a Landon Roberts is becoming a dinosaur, let alone the Levon Kirkland's. And that's not a knock on either one of those guys. It's their body types.
Yeah.
There's not many of those over there. Thick, barrel chested.
There's not even an Earl Holmes over there. It was 6'1", 250. Those guys don't exist.
They don't exist. I mean, it's a lot of change in directions and space and, coverage stuff and passing off guys in zones. And boy, it used to be such a fatal flaw. Like, he likes to run around blocks and doesn't take them on head on. Now it's like, run around that guy because you're 220 pounds right. And you can't.
Don't lock up. Yeah, I always love that when you see something doesn't get off blocks well. Well, he's a 225-pound guy going up against a 300-pound guy.
Yeah, right. Or Ramon Foster, who's walking. I mean, these 350-pound guys. Like, I mean, of course you're not going to get off that block easily. Put yourself in a position to beat the block however you can, without running so far around it that the lane just opens. Right. Dive at their legs, whatever you got to do. But no, I think that's less and less of a negative on these guys. Doesn't defeat big blocks well. Well, okay. Well, you're not gonna do it that much.
Absolutely. That's the idea anyways.
That's the plan, right? Yeah,
that's the plan. We got to get to a break. He is the Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening live to our coverage here at the NFL Scouting Combine here on Fox Sports Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and well done.
Steelers Nation Radio. We're going to be back with more right after this.
When you want black and gold football talk, you want Steelers Nation Radio. Live from the 2024 NFL Combine, this is Steelers Nation Radio.
Yinshat's new Combine Challenge is now live. Yinshat is the Steelers trivia and predictive game where you can compete versus Steelers Nation for prizes. This week, answer daily trivia on the NFL Scouting Combine. One of today's questions is, which current Steeler has registered the better broad jump at the Scouting Combine, T.J. Watt or Alex Highsmith? I can't believe they didn't put Max.
Max's broad jump. Max versus Ramon or somebody like that.
Max versus TJ.
I'm sure that was close.
Actually, Max, for the standing broad jump, if he just stepped forward.
Yeah, just say one big step.
Yeah, one big step.
Yeah.
Would that work?
Guess. I mean, he wouldn't get so far, but it might be farther than he could jump.
Pretty good. Yeah, right. It might be farther. Anyways, if you answer that with the Yinz chat now on the Steelers mobile app, you can win a signed jersey of 2023 first round draft pick Broderick Jones. The questions close on Monday. And Matt, during the break here, Mel Kiper, I was looking, came out with a new draft here for the
Combine. He's hearing stuff.
Yeah, he's here and running around in his hairs somewhere else. So they're
I don't think he even comes here, but he's hearing stuff.
Yeah.
I mean,
So he's got the Steelers at 20 taking cornerback Nate Wiggins from Clemson.
I'd be perfectly fine with that.
That's a really intriguing pick. You want to talk? I mean, you're talking about another 6'2", 185, 190-pound cornerback.
An extreme athlete with length cover. And, I mean, the knock on him, we had this conversation with Max, is, he can stick on blocks a little and maybe isn't a glass eater in the run game and that type of thing. But you put him and Porter on the outside, and if they both are the players you think they can be, well, that allows you a lot of different flexibilities in terms of, wider edge guys or whatever, if you're going to run at these dudes, or more people in the box and things of that nature. And, so I would take that right now.
The other thing that people don't think about with these kind of things. So if you go, you have a good young cornerback and you take another good young cornerback. Now those guys are going to push each other.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because they're gonna, they're gonna be friendly about it. It's gonna be a friendly competition.
Swan Stalwart situation,
right? Nate did that, and Joey's gonna say, "Well,
did that last year.
Yeah, I'm gonna go get an interception. Right, I gotta get five pass breakups. I want to cover Ja'Marr Chase.
I was a defensive rookie of the year finalist. Do you think you could do that? Right. And so, no, they both have similar pedigrees. They both have similar skill sets. I think Wiggins is actually more athletic. I mean, Joey's probably bigger and more physical and more proven, obviously, been in the league for a year. But I'd be fine with that. I mean, was there any names after that that you would say, if that guy was there, maybe I wouldn't have gone that direction?
Well, the next Cooper DeGene went a pick ahead of him.
Okay.
Talisi Fuaga.
That wouldn't be a slam dunk. I mean, I like DeGene a lot.
The Bengals took Talisi Fuaga at 18.
Okay.
That would be an interesting.
He would sure fit in with a nastiness standpoint, plug and play right tackle. From what I understand, and again, I mean, put as much stock in this as you want, this event isn't made for Fuaga.
No.
I mean, I think the Mims and the Guyton's of the world will be better on the field turf in Indy here than Fuaga will be. Is that enough for him to get to 20? I bet not.
Yeah, I mean, he's a true right tackle.
I think he's a true right tackle.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Yeah, no, that's fine. He has more cornerbacks going in his first round here than some of the other mocks.
I've noticed that more and more. Some of these Pro Football Focus stuff that's been coming out, one of them had DeGene going 5 to the Chargers. Yeah. You know, like, corners are in demand. I mean, it's easy to say there's going to be a quality one there at 20. But to me, where we sit right now, DeGene, Arnold, Toledo, Mitchell, I couldn't remember his name, and
Wiggins
are the four that I'm very comfortable with.
Yeah, those guys are, I know today, right now, unless
I would take
something
them.
Happens where they, you know, really bad, they're going in the first round. But
And I would be comfortable with them at 20. You know, where the others, I'm not sure I'm comfortable today at them with 20 at there.
He also has TJ Tampa. Going in the first round.
Wow.
Yeah, 29 to Detroit. He's got Kamari Lassiter at 30 to Baltimore.
And those teams need him. I mean, what if the Chiefs lose Deed or, you know?
So that's a couple names that typically aren't there. If you look at Matt Miller's top 50 here.
He was sitting next to us a minute ago.
Yeah, it was just over there.
Where's his corners coming in?
He's got Terry and Arnold at 7.
Wow.
Overall.
Okay. The first defensive player?
He then has.
I don't think Arnold really has any chance of being here.
I don't think so either. I think he goes first. He's got Enos Rakestraw at number 2 at 15.
Wow. He might be a guy a couple weeks from now that I say, I'll take him at 20.
Yeah.
I'm cool with it. I'm just not there yet on him.
He's got Quinyon Mitchell at 17.
Okay. Similar.
Yeah. Then he has the next one up is DeGene at 22.
Okay.
Then you have.
I mean, it's still 4 or 5 of them in the top 22.
Absolutely. Then you have Kool-Aid McKinstry at 28.
I wouldn't say I'd take him at 20 right this second.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to be. I think he's going to go in the first round.
He's got Wiggins all the way down at 32.
What's his write-up on him? Like, does he have any negatives to say besides, you know, maybe isn't the most willing tackler or something along those lines?
He said Wiggins has locked down the cornerback 1 spot for Clemson the past 2 seasons, showing excellent speed on a big frame. In fact, one Clemson coaching source told me he was the fastest player on the team.
Okay.
Wiggins.
That all adds up. That's what I've been saying
about Clemson.
At Clemson.
Yeah. Wiggins is lean and can be susceptible to giving up on catches on breaking routes, but his length and wheels are intriguing, and he is always around the ball despite limited targets, evidenced by 17 pass breakups.
So he gets his hands on the ball.
Over the 22-23 season, 3 career interceptions. Scouts will want to see better ball skills, but Wiggins has starter-level traits. So some of the same stuff that you saw about Porter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know, he doesn't really pick the ball. If he doesn't have a ton of interception.
Well, but a lot of PBUs.
Yeah, a lot of PBUs. Gets his hands on the ball a lot.
I'm a fan from what I've seen.
Let's see here. He's got, after that, then you're looking at
a little gap.
A little bit of a gap there after those top guys.
Okay.
That's it in the top 50.
Then.
That's it in the top 50.
That they're all basically in the top 30 or so.
Yeah. So if you look at that, the way he has that rated there, Wiggins was his 6th. So you had Arnold, Rakestraw, Mitchell, DeGene, McKinstry, and then Wiggins.
Hmm. I'd love to hear why, not that he's wrong. I just love to hear why Rakestraw's 2.
I A lot of the stuff that I've read about him, and just a little bit of tape that I've watched on him. I haven't done a ton of tape study yet, but physicality is
he seems like a wiry, tough dude. That
the
attitude would fit the Steelers situation. Like, he's not bashful about
sticking his face in there, and making a tackle,
or attacking the ball in the air, or getting his hands on guys through routes, or pressing at the line of scrimmage. Those are things I definitely know about him for sure. Yeah. I would have loved to see more from the Senior Bowl, but that's. Maybe he makes five. You know, I think there's four that I'm real comfortable with 20, and there's a better chance Rakestraw for me than Kool-Aid would be that fifth one.
Yeah, and if you look at that linebacker position that we were just talking about, his first guy on there is Edgerrin Cooper at 45.
45. Wow. I mean, if he's lasting that long, I'd be real interested for that. Yeah. Anyone else in the top 50?
I bet not. Well, right after Cooper is Junior Colson. Right next to each other, yeah.
He does do position ranks at the end of the article, right?
Yeah.
Who are his top five linebackers?
Colson's a little bit different, too, because he's 6'3", 247, although he didn't look that big.
Oh, really? You saw him?
I saw him. I looked at him. I'm looking at him from 10 feet away.
Yeah,
he's
yeah,
up
yeah.
on the podium. At the linebacker position, he's Cooper 1, Junior Colson 2, Peyton Wilson 3.
Okay.
He does look every bit of the
6'4". I bet. I've heard he looks the part, yeah.
Yeah. Jalen Ford at 4, and then Jeremiah Trotter at 5.
The testing stuff with Trotter and the overall athleticism, people get a little enamored with the last name, but he's not big and he's not a great athlete.
Yeah, that's going to be the
that's
the
problematic,
issue.
Right?
Yeah.
Ford seems to have some buzz.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that Texas defense.
Yeah.
You know,
not so bad.
A couple of defensive tackles and a linebacker that are up there that
highly sought after.
Yeah, and you always have to ask yourself in those kind of situations. I can remember when the Steelers drafted Kendrell Bell, and he was playing on that Georgia defense behind Stroud and who was the other one?
Seymour.
Stroud. Yeah. So you got Stroud and Seymour in front of this linebacker. Is the linebacker good because he's good, or is the linebacker good because he never has to worry about anybody getting on him because those two monsters are in front of him?
And even more recently is like the Kobe Dean behind Jordan Davis and Wyatt Carter.
And Kobe Dean has struggled a little bit thus far.
He's struggled, yeah. And even Trevon Walker struggled. He's more of an edge down guy. But none of those Georgia dudes, front seven players, have quite lived up to their billing yet.
Yeah, I mean, you wonder if it's the collective of what they had there because they were so talented.
Can't block everybody.
Yeah.
You can't double everybody.
Right.
You know, somebody's going to make plays. Makes me wonder, like, was that defense too talented to evaluate? Like, almost the opposite in some cases.
Yeah.
They really benefit from each other. I mean, there's no question about that.
I mean,
and
there's
they're
no
always
doubt
fresh.
That they all have talent on their own.
Right.
But is it talent to where they were drafted at?
Exactly. You get picked a little high. Like, Walker's the best example.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he flashes, but he doesn't look like the first overall pick.
If you redrafted that class, would he be number one?
I mean, Hutchinson would definitely go ahead of him. I mean, if it's just that conversation.
He might be the 15th best player in that class.
Yeah, he might be. I mean, he might be the 10th best defensive player if we talked about it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's upside. There's athletic ability. But everyone on the front seven is better than the people blocking him.
Yeah, looking at the defensive tackles, he has Byron Murphy 1, Jerzon Newton 2, Tavondre Sweat 3, Chris Jenkins from Michigan 4, and then Brandon Dorius from Oregon 5.
Okay. Ooh, that's lean, though.
It's
Yeah. Sweat excites me, don't get me wrong, but that's a lean group because I don't think the Steelers are going to be involved with the top two.
Yeah. At the center position, he has Jackson Powers Johnson 1, Zach Frazier 2, Mason McCormick out of South Dakota State 3, Bo Limmer from Arkansas 4, and Cedric Van Pran out of Georgia 5.
Does he call Graham Barton a guard?
I believe he calls Barton, where does he have him at? He calls him... Must list him at tackle.
Okay. And he didn't make the top five.
Because he had him at 21, and he didn't make the top five. So that tells you a little bit about the tackle spot.
Just real quick, what's his tackle rankings?
So he has Alt, Fashanu, Fawaga, Guyton, and then Latham.
Okay. Interesting. I heard someone describe Latham that he's built like a globe.
Is that a snow with globe or just
feet.
A...
Yeah. I mean, he's just this big, thick, round monster. Yeah.
He is a monster.
He's a monster.
I mean, he is a massive pile of humanity.
Yes. He's another one. They took him at 20? Fine. Great.
He is very...
Sign me up.
And this is not a knock on Max at all.
No.
Max is like one of the biggest human beings I've ever been around.
No question.
I would imagine that Latham looks very similar.
Yes and no. I bet he's rounder, thicker, more powerful per capita. You know what I mean? Where Max has these extremely long arms, and huge hands,
ridiculously long arms,
big feet, and all that kind of stuff too. But yeah, I mean the height is much different.
Absolutely.
Not that Latham's short, but
yeah.
He's a masher.
Yeah. That's going to do it for the show today, Matt.
Okay. Good stuff. Yeah. We're about halfway through the combine process here, right?
We are. We will be back again tomorrow, starting at 9. We'll have some drills to take place. We also
have better of heights and weights by then, too.
I would hope so. We also get Omar Khan tomorrow.
Oh, good, good. Yeah.
So he is here in town. He'll speak to the media tomorrow. So we'll have some updates on all of that as well. But that's going to do it for our coverage here today. Here on Steelers Nation Radio and Fox Sports Pittsburgh, live from the Scouting Combine here in Indianapolis. He's Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Ollie. We want to thank Brian LaMartina back in studio for keeping us on the air as well. And we want to thank you for listening to this edition of The Drive on Steelers Nation Radio.
Black and gold football lives here.
What a play!
24/7. You're listening to SNR, Steelers Nation Radio.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.